From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. We continue our coverage this week of the risk that sea level rise poses for Massachusetts coastal communities. Hear about a new analysis of what it might cost to prepare Boston's coastlines and how communities might start working on buying out coastal property owners at risk of repeated flooding. Also, local researchers get $35 million from the TED Audacious Project to study a part of the ocean known as the Twilight Zone. That's later this hour. But first, it's Boston Marathon time again, and that means the kickoff of the race season for many amateur runners. Some of those runners are not 20-somethings or even 40-somethings. Last year, the oldest finisher in the Boston Marathon was 84 years old. This year, a 79-year-old three-time cancer survivor is running the race. So what's the secret of these older athletes? That's what journalist Jeff Berkovici attempted to figure out and has written about in his new book, Play On, The New Science of Elite Performance at Any Age. That book is due out May 1st, and Jeff joins me now. Welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thanks for having me.
All right, I have to say, before reading your book, sports and gerontology were not two words I ever thought I would put together in a sentence, let alone a standalone phrase. How long has this been a thing?
I think it's been a thing since the beginning of sports, probably. I mean, gerontology is sort of a funny medicalized word, but if you pay a lot of attention to sports, you know, sports media, if you read sports pages, age is a central topic in any discussion of sports. You know, there's always talk about, you know, who has tread left on his tires, you know, who's got gas still in the tank. I mean, from the time an athlete in a lot of sports, from the time they're, you know, 26, 27 years old, people start talking about, you know, how many more years can they do this? I mean, Andre Agassi said something in his memoir about feeling like at age 28, every time he'd come on the court, that, you know, someone would say, at the advanced age of 28, can Agassi still win tournaments?
And then in the Winter Olympics this year, I can't count the number of times that I heard three-time Olympian, four-time Olympian. I mean, that's, you know, 16 years of being at peak international elite performance. Is that level of that length of time that we can expect peak performance from athletes increasing?
It does seem to be increasing. I mean, there are stats, you know, it differs from sport to sport, but there's definitely a trend across sports that we're seeing the most elite performers now often clustering around their, you know, mid-30s, late-30s, even above 40 in some cases, like marathon and other endurance sports. Those are particularly favorable to athletes in that stretch of their careers. But you're seeing it, you know, even in high intensity contact sports like football and hockey.
Well, we constantly hear, not necessarily with regard to sports, but just life in general, 50 is the new 40, 60 is the new 40. Obviously, lifespans have extended, lengthened significantly in recent decades, thanks to advances in medical treatment. But this seems like it could be a slightly different thing. I mean, what's driving this extension of an athlete's potential performance life?
Well, of course, there are a few things, like you mentioned, medical treatment. A big one is a different approach to training and athletic conditioning that has been spreading through sports. You're seeing it in the NBA. It's something that really began with the Spurs. You know, about 15 years ago, they started having just much, much better health luck with their older players. You know, players losing fewer games to injuries, and it was because of basically resting the players. The coach would get a lot of criticism for resting his players when they were healthy instead of playing them, but he really strongly believed that that players needed a lot more rest and they played better when they were fresher. And he basically took what's called a periodization approach to the health of his players. Periodization is something that has been a very well-known, you know, well-established concept in endurance sports for a long time. It's the idea that you ramp up your training over a specified period of time. You know, training becomes harder in intensity and volume, and then you taper off before an event, just like the marathoners in Boston have been doing for the last couple of weeks, right before performance. It's been very hard to periodize players in other sports, like something like basketball or soccer, where they play a long season where, you know, you have to be intense pretty much from the beginning. But you're now seeing that approach successfully deployed in sports like that.
You know, that's interesting that it's about rest as much as exercise, because we know there are biological changes that happen with age, and there's actually a fair bit of science showing that exercise can slow or stop or even reverse some of those changes. And I think the advice that we've typically gotten, not for elite athletes, but, you know, for everybody, is, you know, the more exercise, the better.
Yes.
It seems like in this case, maybe it's not that the exercise is slowing the aging process, maybe that's part of it, but they're just finding a way to kind of work with those changes in terms of their athletic performance.
Absolutely. So older athletes, I mean, one thing that's pretty well established, they need more rest. They need longer periods of time to recover from intense activity. And what happens is the real enemy of older athletes is injury. And because they need more rest and recovery, it's easier for them to accumulate fatigue in their bodies over the course of a season, over the, you know, the course of a training program. So they need to be much smarter about how they clear fatigue from their bodies in the course of a season.
I'm talking with Jeff Berkovici about his new book, Play On: The New Science of Elite Performance at Any Age. Okay, so as interesting as the elite athletes are, what I really want to know is how this helps me, an average runner with, quite frankly, no interest in going much beyond a 10K or certainly being elite. And there are plenty of people who are interested in being fit and healthy longer without necessarily being an elite athlete. So what is this, you know, principle of rest or periodicity look like in an average person's workout regime?
The easiest way that you can harness that concept that's helping so many elite athletes extend their careers is to know that the biggest mistake that sort of everyday athletes make is not being intentional about what you want to get from each workout. Most people, what we do is we go too hard on easy days and too easy on hard days. You sort of get out there and you run pretty hard for what feels like a pretty long time. It turns out that's the worst way to do it. These elite runners, what they're doing is they say, you know, I'm going to have my intense workout days that I can only do a couple of a week. And then I'm going to have the days that I do for volume, where I work out so easily, basically. I run so slowly, it almost doesn't even feel like getting a workout. Now, what that does, the intense workouts and the easy workouts, they work different systems. They basically, the in your intense workouts, you're increasing your VO2 max, your peak output, and in your easy workouts, you're increasing your the number of mitochondria you have, so your overall ability to produce energy. If you go too hard on your easy days, you're basically limiting your ability to go hard in your next workout. So one thing you can do is what's called polarized training. That's where you completely separate your easy from your hard workouts. About 80% of your workouts should be long and easy. You're doing them for volume, and then 20% of your workouts should be short and intense.
I feel like I've maybe experienced a version of this with my own running. You know, I have a couple of weeks where things are crazy at home, crazy at work, whatever. I barely get out running. And all of a sudden I go back and I feel like, oh, I haven't been running for 2 weeks. This is going to be so painful. And instead, I have my fastest, easiest run like ever.
Absolutely. Freshness is so important in sports. And that's really what has been the revelation that has changed so many sports over the last 10, 15 years, is that a lot of these athletes, in a lot of sports, these athletes are as fit as they need to be. The idea that the soccer player or the basketball point guard who is dominating his sport is doing it because he's the fittest guy on the court, it's just not the case. You know, you don't need to have the fastest 40 time to be the best wide receiver. What separates them is often how they're able to balance their freshness with their fitness over the course of a season so that they avoid injuries and at any given time are able to perform their best.
My guest is Jeff Berkovici. He's author of Play On: The New Science of Elite Performance at Any Age. Jeff, what about diet and what we eat? How important is that in extending an athlete's performance career?
Well, of course, diet is incredibly important. It's central. You know, they say garbage in, garbage out. However, some of the extreme diets you've probably heard about that a lot of athletes will give credit for extending their careers, there's not a lot of science behind them. I mean, the most famous, certainly to people in Boston, will be Tom Brady's diet, which he follows this fairly intense regimen that includes things like no sugar. He doesn't eat strawberries. He says he's never eaten a strawberry. He tries to eat 80% alkaline foods, foods that supposedly increase the alkalinity of his blood. There's just not a lot of science behind it. The idea of it is it's supposed to decrease his inflammation levels, but the truth is you can't really increase or decrease the alkalinity of your blood eating that way. And even if you could, you wouldn't necessarily want to, because inflammation is something athletes need to adapt and get stronger. For the most part, if you're eating a healthy diet, you know, full of vegetables, whole grains, not a lot of things like red meat and sugar, you're doing it right.
And what about just the psychology of things? I mean, you actually note that older athletes may have psychological advantages over younger athletes. So what are those advantages, and are there ways for younger athletes to cultivate those or take advantage of that?
This is one of the most interesting things that I learned about in this book. There are a number of advantages that older athletes have psychologically, which makes sense when you think about it. You know, we tend to think that people get wiser with age and sort of more in control of your emotions, and that's true. And it turns out that kind of emotional control has a huge impact in performance. The fact that that older athletes tend to experience negative emotions, negative unwanted emotions, less often and less severely. What that does is it makes them less likely to choke, basically. They're less likely to choke, less likely to get in their own heads, more able to stay in that comfortable zone of what's called emotional activation or emotional arousal, where you're not too hyped up, but you're also not too sort of, you know, drowsy or subdued. It helps them stay in that zone where they can perform their best. So that's a huge one. But it turns out that there are emotional and psychological advantages that you wouldn't even expect, such as experience. The experience an athlete has not only makes them better at performing, you know, the skills required for their sport. That's kind of an obvious one. If you play a sport for 15, 20 years, that you'll be more skilled. It actually seems to have some effect in helping them avoid injuries, because the more experience you have, the better your brain is able to model the circumstances that your body is in and create an appropriate muscle activation strategy to basically protect your joints from injury. So when you're looking at an athlete like Tom Brady and you're saying, how is it that this guy's been able to play his sport for so long without getting injured? Part of the answer seems to be because he's been playing the sport for so long.
And unfortunately, that's not something you can replicate at a younger age. You just have to wait to get better with age.
That's true, but there are things that younger athletes can do. For instance, there's something called in sports called self-talk, which is basically just talking to yourself. So there's been a fair amount of research showing that positive self-talk is really useful in cultivating that kind of emotional control that I was talking about before. Just basically giving yourself positive feedback out loud or in your head while you're running your race or coming off the bench in your game can help you stay in that emotional zone where you can perform the best.
Well, so the next time I go for a run and somebody looks at me because I'm crazy talking to myself, I'll blame it on you.
Feel free.
Jeff Brokovich is author of Play On, The New Science of Elite Performance at Any Age. The book is due out May 1st. Jeff, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Up next, how much will it cost to prepare Massachusetts coastlines for rising seas? Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.